Welcome to Jurassic Park.
The next round. I don't know. That's about as much as I remember from the start of the Final Fantasy 15 game. But you're not playing Final Fantasy 15, and you're listening to the 8-4 Play podcast. You're only source for anything having to do with Japan games and Japanese games. I'm your host, Mark Eames McDonald, and JJ, I'm very proud of you that you immediately caught on to what I was doing. We didn't even... believe it or not, folks, we didn't work that out. That wasn't practice.
Great minds think alike, because I was thinking the exact same. Wow. Doing the exact same
starting
thing.
Starting off with the
grunt epic. Is this about moving the car or whatever?
No, this was even before that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So if you want to, you can YouTube. There's 55-0 minutes of Final Fantasy 15 that we can maybe talk a little bit about more... later released as part of Gamescom, but just to introduce everybody to my... first of all, let's just get it out of the way.
Let's do it.
We're going to talk about this podcast. A lot of it is what everybody's talking about. It's the game everybody's playing. You might be sick of it from Twitter and from Reddit and from YouTube and everywhere. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry, we haven't talked about it yet, so we're going to talk about Destiny Rise of Iron. I'm just going to let that out there up front, just so people aren't like, listen, it's enough Destiny Rise of Iron talk already. Yeah. Like, I'm
going
to buy it.
I'm a huge fan.
We don't need to hear you talk about it. But... we're going to talk about that. If there's any time left over, we might talk about No Man's Sky. But in the meantime, just to introduce everybody, to my right, stage left, that is JJ Private Matches Epperson.
Private Matches.
I know. I was trying to think what is... We haven't talked about it yet, but the aspect of Rise of Iron that I have a feeling that you're most excited about is the fact that you can make private matches now.
Right.
Finally.
Finally.
And Destiny can be an esport, potentially.
Potentially.
And I know you want to talk about that, but just hold off for
I will
minute.
Say, like, I'm actually, like, going to respond to this, but really, like...
Yeah.
It took them that long to do that?
That has not happened until now. That's fine. That's probably... Not probably. It is far and away the number one.
With, like, custom rules and everything?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Like, to some, not to, like, a crazy degree, at least at first.
But you can, like, limit the effect of leveling.
You can play
and all
five versus one and have, you know, you can kind of make your own rules where people are like, oh, we only use melee and the one person can use a gun, or there will be that kind of stuff.
That actually sounds pretty cool.
Right? Yeah. Well, there you go. See?
Let's
not get into that Rise of Iron talk just yet.
Okay, we'll get into that.
Let's save some stuff for Dermot, Lord Saladin Cregan, because I know you're excited more about the lore aspect of Rise of Iron.
You're not far off.
Right?
Yeah.
You're more into that kind of... you're like that kind of player, which there's some of that. There's some in there for you, too.
Yeah.
According to the new vid doc that they released out of Gamescom.
I mean, that's why I didn't get into Destiny in the first place. I, like, rented it Redbox on release day.
What do you mean
day.
You didn't get into Destiny?
Well, because...
You mean that's why you didn't get into vanilla, that's why you only got into it big time in The Taken King.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
okay,
that's what I was going to say.
Right, was because the lore wasn't deep enough for you, basically?
Yeah.
Yeah. You need it kind of spoon-fed. You just don't like... You don't like interpreting weapon descriptions and things like that. You want it more kind of... You want it fed to you.
Yeah, that's
Pokemon
right.
style.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Pokemon style.
Speaking of Pokemon...
Yeah.
Our final guest, rounding out the four horsemen of the 8-4 play.
Is that another reference?
Does this. No, it's not.
Okay.
It could be. There's probably horse heads
I've seen,
somewhere
like, art of it,
Iron.
And it kind of looks like there are, like, four people, but, you know.
There's some epic, legendary heroes in that, JJ. But just hold your horses.
Okay. You know, I just...
Hold your...
So excited.
Your legendary horses back till we talk about Rise of Iron so that we can introduce... Roy Sandshrew Blakely.
All right.
Yes! Ladies and gentlemen, say intro.
Why don't I get a Destiny nickname?
Because you're not really into Destiny.
That's true, yeah.
Right?
I guess not, yeah.
And you're still playing Pokemon, and we delayed the start of our podcast so that... how old are you guys?
I'm old 30. Enough. I'm 33, I think.
21.
Roy?
31.
So that we could watch... What exactly was it? It was the
last episode of the current Pokemon anime.
In Japan?
In Japan.
Or in America, okay.
In Japan. It's unprecedented because this is the first time
Ash is... to your asses, folks.
The first time Ash has ever gotten to the finals.
Is that still...
It might still be going on. It's like commercials, so it may be
over. I see credits, but is that the Elite Four?
I don't know.
Okay,
it's the Pokemon League. So
I honestly do not know anything about it other than what the circumstances are for this last episode, and I was curious.
And yet we're podcasting, folks. That's how much we care about you and this podcast, that we are actually... It's still on behind me. So, like, don't think you're stealing, like, your surreptitious looks are being unnoticed. you only get so many before I go shithouse.
Yes. It's over now, anyways.
All right. Well, that's probably for the best. We will probably talk about Pokemon Go at some point, but let's talk about games that we have been playing.
Yes.
Starting with the game that most of us have been playing. Dermot, have you been playing No Man's Sky?
I have not, unfortunately.
You have not.
I tried to remote play it from the office.
Yeah.
Couldn't connect to my PS4.
Wait, you tried to...
America, really?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I mean, it's in Seattle, so it's...
Why?
Maybe.
Because do you have to do a system update, or what was the problem?
I don't know.
Oh. Well, sometimes that can be the problem, if you haven't system updated, but... Huh. You don't have a PS4 here, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
You could use one of the office ones.
Well, thanks for telling me.
Guys.
Do we have an office one?
But wait, you don't even have a TV at your place, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So
figure it out before next episode. Okay. In the meantime, <Got it. laughs> people who have been playing,
yes,
No Man's Sky,
right? So me and Roy have been talking about what you're gonna say.
Okay,
yeah, we're
because I've been out of the office, so you guys have been talking amongst yourselves.
Yes,
right. So I have not. I don't think I've said anything
you have
Twitter.
Not
okay yeah and I haven't given really any indication. I've written some tweets and deleted them and I don't, and that's not because that's not to say that they were that it was bad things,
okay.
But I actually, my opinion has fluctuated, and so I didn't, there was so much snark and so much shit going either way on the game too that I kind of didn't want to add to it, so luckily on this podcast I have no such qualms.
Yeah.
So what were you guys in your conversations about before we get into what you thought? Are you thinking that
we thought that you would not like it? This doesn't seem like the kind of game you would be into.
Okay, I
kind of expect that you'll have like a devil's advocate approach to our
like
our liking it.
The way I think of it, it's kind of like Animal Crossing in space. You're
okay.
Like this. You're like this guy who flies around space, collecting minerals, talking to people, learning languages.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a very like the slow like space bum lifestyle sim.
Yeah.
Is how I'm approaching it, anyways.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And in that kind of like respect, I am enjoying it a lot because you don't have to think too much about it.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to go after one single goal. If you want to spend 2 hours in a space station trading and making money, then you can do that. And
right.
That's still fun for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Going onto planets and like just cruising around looking for destroyed airships to kind of replace the one you've got and finding all sorts of things. Like that kind of stuff so far is still really fun for me. And
how much? So just for people to get like a baseline, how much of each of us played roughly hour-wise would you say so far?
I'm probably around 20.
I'd say 20 to 30.
Mm. Okay. I'm probably maybe 12 or so.
Okay.
Yeah. So what about you, Roy? Like when you guys, I'm assuming you guys have been talking about it like on and off all week, but what have you guys been talking about?
We've been trying to like talk about the systems that maybe aren't explained super clearly, like the different modules for your multi-tool and like your ships and like how to get better.
Did you guys know some of the things that I guess I learned this recently, that the proximity to where things are is that just in your multi-tool or on the ship?
On the ship too.
Proximity to where, you know, you fill things in your slots has to do with how much they can kind of work together. And,
right. They'll like light up. There'll be like a border of the same color around the ones that are like enhancing each other.
Yeah. Interesting. If you put like if you just go by the icons, if you put the same icons together, then they'll like light up with a little border, and that's when you know you're getting a bonus.
Hot tip.
Yeah.
Hot tip. So what else?
Yeah, so...
What, you guys are, naming your planets? What are you...
I'm a bad explorer because I went from my home planet to my first star system and I haven't left it since.
Okay.
Just because it's been really profitable, like, and, like, two
Did you
very,
find a planet of... Are you mining gold or cubes or what is your...
Some ore. It's, like, iridium, I think it's called.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Some irradiated ore.
Which is very valuable?
Yeah, or, yeah. Okay. Like, I bring, like, a stack and I get, like, around... 300k
fat
for it.
Stacks, yeah. Roy. Yes. You fill in your starship with fat stacks.
And then my other planet is like, it almost looks like a Xenoblade planet where there's like these weird earth formations. Huh. But
like floating above kind of
Kind
things?
Of, yeah. And yeah. like strange cliffs that kind of like defy gravity.
Right.
And then also, but I really like the way this planet looks. Mm. But the shitty thing about it is like, every planet has like one bad thing about it. I think anyway. The shitty thing about this planet is it's got these little crab bug things that are about as tall as the grass in the that covers the entire planet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like they run around through it and they like swarm me and it's so hard to shoot them because like
oh, yeah,
so
that's they're why aggressive. They evolved, Roy. That's why
yeah,
they evolved.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
yeah.
they hide in the grass.
Right. But I really like that planet. It's why I don't want to leave my star system.
Yeah, have you guys like before we get into much of like value judgments and stuff like that, I still think it's interesting just to hear different people's like stories with the games. Have you guys run into many like unique or memorable planets that you haven't seen other people like talk about or kind of seen pictures of? Like I've seen pictures of a few where I was like, oh, I haven't seen anything like that yet. Like I haven't seen any planets that were like really really desolate yet. And then some people have showed pictures of things where it's like only in the caves there was like a bunch of life and flora and fauna. And I haven't seen too many planets that were mostly water. Like, I've seen some planets that did have water for sure, but not ones that have been kind of mostly water.
I've seen a few of those. Those are cool, but the thing is, like, swimming kind of sucks.
Yeah, swimming...
Swimming is terrible.
What's the point of swimming, too?
Other because there's stuff down there that you can get. There are also
at the bottom
animals
of the
and stuff
seabed.
Like that.
A lot of times there'll be, like, what do they call them? The monoliths and things like that you can find down there. A lot of times there's just items and stuff down there, too.
Right.
And the problem with swimming, besides, like, you know, air and stuff like that, is... There's no just being on the surface of the water.
Yeah,
right.
You're
right,
either
right.
underwater or you're like jetpacking above it. Mm. So
it's
that makes
annoying,
no sense.
Because you have to go back to land. They have items that'll give you a whole bunch of extra air.
Yeah.
So that's, I should say too, I picked up a bazillion different things.
Yes.
Because every house that you walk into, I mean, it's starting to get now where like, oh, you already have that. But like, everything is, you know, at first it was exciting. It was like, oh, I can, you know, increase the efficiency of my mining ray, or I can do the shorten the reload time or whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But like, it just became a, okay, maybe like a few hours from now, I'll just go and look and see whatever I can make. But like, until I get a new multi-tool, I'm not even going to think about this stuff.
Right.
And so I just stopped. One of the things that I found myself doing was that I've seen some people remarking that they start liking the game more after they play it a bunch. I think I'm having the opposite effect where I feel like I'm starting to see the loop and the loop is not grabbing me. Like no part of the loop is grabbing me, and I feel like there's not a lot of exciting new things outside of the loop to discover. So for example, like picking up the you know, I expanded all my inventory slots in my suit, which was very easy once I found out that you just search for the shelter.
Wait, so you've fully maxed out your suit?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow, really? You have 48 slots?
Right? Wait. You can get... Wait, what? Really? I thought you were maxed out at 16.
No.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay, then I take that back. I take that back because the size of the screen thing looked like it...
You get way more than that.
Oh, wow. Well, that's... I guess that makes intuitive sense. I thought I'd like get a new suit before I could get more slots in it or something. Okay. Well, yeah. So once I started... That's at least less of a problem. That was very annoying at first. Yeah. But, like, I kind of stopped caring much about meeting aliens because I felt like none of them were saying anything that interesting. Like, you're not really having conversations with them.
Mm. True.
Also, just to keep on this point, I do still go up and do the little, like, number code thing that is the exact same. Yes. I was like, is this, what are the odds? I got two in a row. They were all just moved the number one over.
There are like three different kinds of puzzles.
Are there? I literally only ever seen one, and there's, I've seen 10 or 12 times.
There's one where they like move the numbers, and then there's one where each number is is multiplied by the number they are in the sequence.
I've seen that
one. I take
one
that
too.
Back. I did see one of those.
And then there's one that's exactly like that, but then you subtract one.
Okay. Yeah, and it's like, okay, I get it, because you had everything that the game makes has to be infinite, and I think, so like, just to touch on the parts of the game that I think are amazing and why it's getting such a great response and why it was so hyped in the first place, the procedural generation of stuff and the feeling of discovery and the feeling of just vast infinity out there that it's just like, wow, what is the next thing going to be look like? What's the next planet going to look like? I have no idea. It's going to look like something. It could look like something that I have not seen before on anybody else's game. Mm. I think the naming things, it was incredibly fun, except that then also turned into, okay, I want to get these points. And the time to type stuff in and stuff like that, like, they really need to, I don't know what they need to do, integrate voice or something.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, it took me maybe five names before I was like, nope, okay,
right?
Just uploading.
I kind of stopped doing it. One thing, other side note that I've noticed, people really suck at naming things.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Don't go into localization, everybody. Like, not everybody should be. Yeah. I was like, so proud of the things I was naming. I'm like, I'm gonna take pictures and show these off to people and stuff like that. And then, like, everybody is like, you know, even like writers who are doing reviews and stuff are like, this is not an actual example, but like, this is Planet GameSpot, and this is Planet Joe, and this is Planet Joe 2,
so,
and this is Planet Blue Joe, and like, I get it, you run out of things pretty quick, and you don't want to spend time thinking of things, but like, come on. If you're going to do a review...
Someone recommended just numbering all your planets.
So actually, I will say, I want to cite a review that somebody pointed me to. I think it's Kirk Hamilton did it. It's the Kotaku review.
One, yes.
I think it's really excellent because it kind of touches on... He ended up really liking the game, but only after not liking it the first time. And I think it touches on a lot of aspects, good and bad, that I like about the game.
Right.
But one of the things that he did mention in that is how his approach to the game changed the second time. And he did number planets and systems so that he could remember easily where he'd been. Mm. And also, like, the sequence of things that he'd been in, which I was like, yeah, you know, you're right. That actually would be a good idea.
It sucks because sometimes, like, last night I was in a solar system that had a really good way to make money.
Yeah, which was what?
To sell, what the name of those items are. They're like
those cube things.
The little cube things.
Okay, he mentions that. He found a similar planet in his.
You have to
avoid the Sentinels, which, like...
Well, no, this one, you can just buy them from people in the space station.
Oh,
and then sell them back for double.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. Yeah.
So, and I,
flipping
like...
Flipping them.
I was flipping them. And I saved up, like, 5.5 million coins.
Jesus! How long did that take you?
2 hours.
Dude, okay... Side note, the interface of trading is an abomination. It should be fucking shot execution style in the head.
Yeah.
It's so bad. I'm sorry. Like, because I'm with you. I'm like, I spent some time, like an hour one time, just running back and forth between starships like a fucking Sonic waitress.
I've spent a
waitress.
Lot of time doing
roller skates. I wish I had roller skates. But like a car hop or whatever they call them, going between spaceship to spaceship, and it's like, okay, I have to fucking wait for you to say something. Mm. Okay, use the interface, which is ripped off from Destiny, but doesn't get the point of it.
Yeah.
Like with dialogue, really, you don't have to hold down the button for everything, guys. So, but the interface is so bad in trading and so inefficient that I just got, you know, really impatient with it in a short order.
Yeah, the nice thing about this is that you only need, a handful of these items to start making a lot of money.
Okay.
But I agree, like, one, you should be able to access all of your inventory in one screen. You don't have to back out and then go back in.
Going back and forth and like, oh, it was in my ship and I'm not carrying it, even though my ship is right there.
Yeah.
Like, come on, I'm just here to trade. Like, can we just fucking trade? Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
But,
come
so anyways.
Come on, Frogbeak guy. Like, can we just fucking trade?
Those are
we do away with the pleasantries?
This is a Gex.
For the millionth time.
Yeah.
The Gex.
The Gex.
Dana Gould.
But like I left that solar system because I wanted a different kind of ship. They didn't have the ship that kind that I wanted. So
How did you know that there was a kind that they weren't offering?
Because if you sit in there for 2 hours, you know what kind of ships are going to show up.
What do you mean they weren't offering, though? Any ship that flies in, you can make an offer.
Each solar system only has a set number of ships.
Right.
A set variety of ships. And so
you've seen it before in a different solar system.
Each solar system will have a certain set of ships, right? And I've been in that one system for 2 hours, so I've seen all of them repeatedly over and over and over again.
Right.
And I didn't have anything I wanted, so I went to the next solar system
to see what
they had, and then they didn't have anything, and I went to like two others and finally landed on one that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But like all the subsequent solar systems didn't have like a good way to make money, so I was like, well, shit, I want to go back after this, but I couldn't because I don't remember what it was.
That's
why I'm afraid to leave too.
Yeah, just name your shit a way that you will remember it. And then you can, I mean, the star map is not the most intuitive thing in the world, but you can figure it out if you have the names set right, like, unless your names that you like are similar to the ones that are randomly generated. Which is also, I gotta say, just the fact that they look kind of like names for everything that you find for all the millions of people, however many people are playing, and all that. Not bad.
Yeah.
Like, kind of impressive.
It's kind of funny how sometimes they accidentally apropos. Turn into real Japanese words.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I hadn't noticed that.
And I was like, wait, that... Okay, that's not a, like I had like a ship that I could have sworn was just a Japanese word, but there's no way that could be possible.
Oh, wait,
I did
too. I think
the ships are not named randomly though. The ships are the set names, and you can't name them.
Yeah, maybe that's intentional. But
I was trying to name something like Cactus because it looked like it was a cactus that looked kind of like a penis, and of course it doesn't let you use
that's a great name.
But I was like, sometimes these limits, they actually make us better, JJ.
No, they do.
I named it Cactus, Cactus, I think, or something like
that. It's funny you mentioned that, because today I was playing a game.
Do you have a penis-shaped cactus story?
Well, no, but there was I was playing a game that we're working on, and the retail version of it.
Don't spoil anything.
I'm not spoiling. It's not a game that has spoilers. But I was looking at this genitalia-shaped cacti. I was looking at the leaderboard, and like the number one person's name was like Titty Master.
Wait, in the.
In the leaderboards for this game.
In the leaderboard of the in-development version.
No. In the retail game.
Oh, okay then.
And I'm just like, wow, they really should censor that stuff.
Maybe we should send them a list
of
things that words they should look out for.
So sometimes that actually works.
But just try to zoom back out to, you know, the high-level view. The fact that, you know, there's no loading, you fly off the planet, you fly on another planet. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you're full of fuel and you're not having to worry about that kind of stuff, and you're just like, I'm going to do my jump drive or whatever it's called, right into a planet, and you come out of warp or, again, whatever it's called, and you're right at a space station. Right. It's a very cool feeling.
Yeah.
Seeing, you know, going back to a planet that I'd been on, okay, by accident, because I wasn't sure that I'd been on. I hadn't named the planet, but then seeing something that I had named again, and being like, oh, yeah, that's just like a bigger version of that or something. Or I forgot that I'd even, you know, found that.
Right.
That was also really cool. There are definitely like a lot of moments. A couple times I kind of fooled myself into finding a moon base and kind of making up more of a story than there probably was there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sometimes you do find there's some kind of like spore. It's like abandoned, but there's some like, that's kind of like infected with something or whatever.
I found that was really cool.
Yeah. I don't know if that ties into like a larger story or whatever, but, so something that I should say that might be coloring my perception of the game too, just talking about this made me think of, was that, so start of the game, probably the very first thing I walk up to is that like red ball thing that I've seen and everything. So I'm like, oh, okay, you're probably the like helper, like, hey, listen thing that's going to show me what's going on. Is that, I don't know what it is.
Isn't it Atlas or something?
It's not a sentinel. The thing that says, hey, I will guide you down the Atlas path, or you can just explore.
Wow, you got that from the beginning?
Yeah,
it's sitting right there.
I told you about it, JJ. It's right outside of where you first started.
Literally, like when you can control the camera, you can see it.
I didn't see that.
Okay, well, so I walk right up to it. I'm like, okay, what's going on? it's like, oh, okay, I have to choose now. Okay, I'm going to choose the, like, no, just chill. I don't want to leave the planet yet.
Oh, chill.
Oh, I'm going to choose the explore option, and then I'll come back and say hello to you. Well, if you, no, but that's not what the option is. If you say no, it's like, all right, later, goodbye, you're on your own forever.
But wait, it didn't make it seem like you were going to leave the planet if you agreed.
It seem like that to me. It basically, I forget exactly how it words it, but it sums it up in, like, two things where it's like, you know, get guidance or something like that. And then that to me is like, oh, okay, you're going to put me in my ship and send me on my way. I didn't know my ship was even broken at that point.
Okay, that's the difference.
The other thing is said, like, explore freely. And it's like, oh, well, I want to explore freely. I'll come back. And it's like, no, fuck you, goodbye. Like, you spurned me. You spurned me, and I will never talk to you ever again. I did find out, though, finally, by asking on Twitter, there is a way eventually later to hook back up with the, like, Atlas Path or whatever it's called.
Yes.
Okay. But a lot of people were like, yeah, actually, don't really worry about that. You should enjoy it more if you're not.
Eventually, you'll run into them. Like, that's the way to play it is to just make everything should just happen naturally.
Right.
Like, don't, like, go in thinking that you have to do this one thing.
Don't force it, JJ. Don't think on the third planet you land on that you necessarily have to, you know, mine it all the way.
Right. You know, when you warp to a solar system, you can not land and just keep going. Like, you don't.
Or if you find a planet that jives with you, man, you don't have to leave.
You can just stay there.
But that's what I've been doing.
So, unfortunately, you really should land on some planets because the space combat is pretty shitty. There's not much to do.
I haven't tried it yet.
Oh, really?
What's shitty about it?
Just everything.
You can't hit anything.
The controls are meh. You have to, like, stop and open your inventory to refill your shields.
Yeah.
It's like,
ground combat too.
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly. So just to go, I know I'm complaining about, like, a lot of little things, but again, I haven't talked to anybody about this game really.
Right.
And so I feel like I need to let it out. But, like, why do I need to manually reload from a menu, like, my gun?
I don't know. I have it, just fucking
take it. Like, same thing with my suit. Why every time I'm at 75%, why is it screen flashing red like I'm about to die? And also, if there's any indication, I'm sure there is, of what fucking temperature things are, if it's bad or good or whatever, I have no fucking idea. All I know is my suit is sometimes low, I gotta refill it.
There usually is a little icon with a meter on top of your...
I bet there
life
is.
Suit.
I bet there is.
That has, like, a little thing of fire or...
No.
Or, like, a snowflake or, like, a
kidding?
Radioactive
Are you
symbol?
Joking?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, no. I had not. If that was there, I totally didn't notice that. It's like, some meter is really high when I go outside. I guess I should wait inside sometimes. That's it. It's like, I have no feeling if this planet is hot or cold or the gravity is high or low or, like...
The bar changes colors, too. Like, it's blue if you're somewhere that's cold.
I did. I think I noticed it changing colors, but, like, it was not,
that's
like...
That's what that is.
Oh, I'm in a snowstorm. There's a snowflake there. My bar is blue. I better stay inside to warm up.
Yeah.
There was never anything like that kind of thing. So this game's going to get a lot of patches. I think it has huge potential.
Agreed.
But I will say that the loop that I kind of fell into, which is the, like, mine gold, fill up your fucking... jump jets on your ship, which you really feels like you have to fill up too often, and manage your inventory in a game that was not built for inventory management, a game that has, like, a wannabe Destiny interface, but is a very different game from Destiny, and not as good even at what it does with Destiny. Like, how things stack, how you put things out in and out of your ship, like, that is a huge part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
That game should have gotten the same, I think, amount of love and care that some of the other aspects did get, like the, you know, procedurally generating these bazillions of planets and things like that. So I think what this game nails are some hard things, which is, like, this crazy sense of wonder and exploration and possibility. And I know these are all, like... like looty-dooty terms. These are not like, oh, it's fun to actually play. The controls are tight, like anything. But that's a very valid thing to charge money for and to sell as a game. I think that's great that so many people also are really responding to it. However, even the people who really love it don't seem to, you know, everybody seems to... I don't know, understand or admit that it's fallen in a short in a lot of ways as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely better than the sum of its parts, and I think probably if you went in expecting a lot more, you probably were let down a lot more. I came in not expecting much of anything.
So this goes back. This goes to, I think, one of the other things, which is the one aspect of it is the multiplayer, quote unquote multiplayer, right, aspect that people were expecting for very good reasons.
Yes,
not a robust or real, quote unquote real multiplayer mode, but just the fact that the only way to see yourself is if somebody else finds you, and like, you know, I don't get, some people kind of have come around being like, why do people even care about this? And it's like, the same question with all the wonder is like, are we alone in the universe? Like, do you not think that people would want to fucking answer that? Especially when it's like the only way you'll ever see yourself is if somebody else finds it. Like, of course, I'm going around naming stuff. Of course, the first something I would love to have happen is to have somebody else come and be able to see that stuff. So now, they didn't sell that as a big part of the game, but they did sell it as possible.
They can, that specific part they can. And actually, a couple of times I have turned the game off at night and then come back the next day to see someone had gone through my galaxy or solar system and named all the planets. So that part is, I mean, you can't see them doing that.
Exactly. The names happen.
Right.
But, you know, you can upload, that's why you upload the names, and the names do go out to everybody. But, like, the fact that there's no, you know, the fact that there was no packets going back and forth for any possible multiplayer stuff, the fact that you're at this, you're not at the same place at the same time, it's day and night or whatever, and of course, you know, the fact that you can't see each other at all or whatever, okay, is not the end of the world, but you just, you have to message that stuff. You have to set realistic expectations, and when you set expectations towards the opposite, you know, you shouldn't be surprised when people are not happy about it. The extent to which people are happy about it is the inverse to the extent which people are happy about the game, which is like with the fevered pitch of, you know, heat of 1,000 suns. Like, nothing is like equivocal and cool-headed when talking about this game for a lot of people. But, you know, that is, in a way, that's good. In a way, it's like, you know, I think it's passionate. I think with something that goes to this level of hype, it just kind of comes with the territory, right?
Right. Like, I think people have a right to be angry about it. What I personally, I think not
any kind of harassment, any kind of
going
overboard. Of course, we're not talking about that shit at all. We're talking about in the realms of reasonable people.
Yes. What I think happened,
stuff,
and this is just me, like, you know, we've been working in game development for a long time.
Right.
And
you're an expert, basically.
I'm basically an expert.
Go ahead.
So I think probably what happened, and remember, this game got delayed from June to August.
Yeah. Let's change that to probably what happened to, like, one idea about what might have happened.
Well, what I think is that the reason why it got delayed is because they couldn't get the online to work, and then in the end, they just had to cut it.
Wouldn't be surprising if that if that was planned as a thing, and that might be,
because that's probably why later the stickers on the boxes, that's probably why those
there's little bits of evidence here and there that could point to something like that.
I hope they come out and write the record and say, you know, what their plans are for multiplayer and stuff like that.
Clear the air. Like, it's not going to make this stuff go away.
Yeah.
But it is going to die, going to really make it die down compared to where it is now.
Yeah.
Like, you give people less to talk about if you're upfront and open and like, okay, look, this is what I said. I know I said that, but now I'm saying this. People will have a flare up and then it will go down. You know, it's like ripping off the Band-Aid.
People will get over it and move on and hopefully they can fix their game.
And I mean, to a certain extent, these are all professionals that have done this. They know this stuff. I'm sure it's easy for us to say on a podcast.
Yeah.
They have a list a mile long, as we know, of different priorities and stuff like that. I'm just saying maybe this should be, you know, more towards the top. Do a tweet.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, if, you know, they spent a whole bunch of time messaging the game before pre-release, and they've done almost jack shit afterwards.
But it's like,
they really should get out and actually address these issues.
But, you know, to go back a few topics, to have a game that this many people are talking about, and people are talking about this game, I think, in a very interesting way, like it or dislike it. you know, the things that they are liking about it are things that are hard and rare for any game to attempt, much less pull off, much less an indie game to pull off. And so I do think that part is cool. I probably give them less of an out. I know a lot of people are like, you know, a lot of people respond to kind of like they're a very small team, whatever. That's great. I'm sorry, but when you're $60, like you're the same price as Assassin's Creed, which is 600 people. Like at the end of the day, your game is your game. People don't necessarily know or care how many people you have on the team. Like the game has to speak for itself. I am much more open and amenable to that argument if it's like, you know, we're a $20 indie game. We're not charging you like $60 for whatever. They set at that price point because they said, actually, this game is worth it. We're swinging with the big boys.
Yeah.
Swinging and swimming with the big boys. And I think they are.
Yeah.
But I do think that that comes with a higher set of expectation than in a lot of ways they were unable to meet. You know, some of the bug kind of type stuff. I've not had a single crash. Have you guys crashed at all?
The first couple days I crashed a lot, but recently I haven't been like there was one point where I was trying to jump to another solar system, and every single time I went there, it would crash every single time.
The same solar system?
The same solar system. Well, so to fix it, I'd have to just go to another one.
Just name that solar system crash override, crash-tastic.
That's a good idea.
Something like that.
Wish I would have thought of that.
So what have we not talked about? What's some aspect of this that you guys... here's another small thing. I actually like made a note of this one because it really drove me crazy.
Sure.
Please fix this.
Let it all out.
The fact that almost every time you have those little markers that mark things on the horizon, right?
Yeah,
something is almost always far enough away that it's very near the center of your screen.
Mm.
And I always mistake it for the reticle that you're aiming at.
Really?
Constantly. All the freaking time.
Oh, I don't
know.
So
many times. It drives me nuts.
I don't have that problem, but I am annoyed by those icons, especially when you're like, you're on another planet. And you can see the icons from the planet you left.
Right.
And you want to take a nice screenshot, right? But there's all these stupid icons everywhere.
Right.
So you can't.
Hmm. There's a PC mod that'll get rid of all the...
But see, I wish you could make those icons only come up when you use like your scanner or something.
Right.
And same with like, you know, you're talking about having to run from ship to ship. Like, make it so you could just scan the ship and see how much it costs or something like that.
That would be nice. Yeah, I'm sure these kind of things are coming. Also, swap where scan and run are, for God's fucking sake.
Get rid
of
stamina.
Have you never played any first-person shooter at all? Like, come on. I know you're not a shooter,
I think it's okay.
But it's not okay, Roy.
Just get rid of stamina. Just get rid of it. All of it.
Do you guys know about, I forget what they call it, like melee boosting?
Yes.
That
changes everything.
That is key. Yeah. So people who don't know what we're talking about, a way to move around planets way faster is there is a, you know, a dash which has a limited amount of stamina, but if you melee and really quickly hit your jetpack after it, you'll kind of, when you melee, you take like a quick step forward, and if you do it while you're doing that quick step forward, you jetpack, you'll keep your momentum and
you go really fast, and you
that
can
is another thing that like you should know that before you start. Absolutely. But all indications are the game is selling very, very well. Super happy for those guys, excited for this kind of, I don't know if I would call it a new style of game, but I mean I would definitely call it a very unique experience.
Right. I think there are similar types of games like Elite and all those other things, but for me this is the first one that was maybe simple enough or more like arcadey enough that anybody could just like jump in and enjoy it. Like all those other games, I just think about how intimidating they are and all sorts of things. I think this is like I said, it's like the Animal Crossing of like Space Sims.
Yeah, the Animal Crossing thing is interesting though, but I think Animal Crossing's kind of, I wouldn't call it risk reward, but Animal Crossing's like carrot dangling in terms of how you collect stuff and how you're rewarded for collecting stuff. Seems like it has, you know, like a PhD compared to No Man's Sky being like in high school, like a very like excelling high school, like with a lot of promise, but also being like just so hamstrung by interface issues, and you know there's aspects of the economy that are really weird, and just I mean like really a lot of different like patchable, fixable things.
Yes,
for sure. But as it is right now, it's just like I hesitate. You are collecting things a ton, and you are managing inventory a ton. But unlike Animal Crossing, you know, you're not building your own little home base, at least yet. You will be.
Yeah.
Your ship, even, you do customize it, but it doesn't really have that feeling like Animal Crossing, true, I feel like, doesn't either.
No. Yeah, it's more, I more mean in the fact that you have this playground and you can just do chores and do whatever you want.
I see. Yeah. It's a very chill game. Yes. I think, like, yeah, if you need stuff to have too much action, which maybe that's why you guys thought that I wouldn't like it, but yeah, I'll be honest, I think the thing that would have made me like it a lot more, even with all the other issues, was a breadcrumb story that I actually got really interested in.
There is a little bit, if you follow the path of the Atlas, there's like a little bit of that.
So I know it sounds weird me saying that when I said that I wasn't following the Atlas path, but I have some ideas of how it's like, but I'm not talking about just the meat of the story. I'm talking about how the story is delivered.
Yeah.
AKA like dialogue trees or choices or how you can interact with aliens.
Yeah.
It's incredibly limited,
right,
the ways you can interact with aliens. And I wasn't expecting Mass Effect, you know, but I guess I was expecting something a little more. You know, I didn't think, oh, every guy that I meet in this system is probably going to be a frog beak guy. Mm. And then I go to the next system. Oh, every person here is like a robot guy.
Yeah.
I'm sure it mixes it up later at some point. I hope.
There's one specific place where you'll see different types together, but it's usually just one set per solar system. But
yeah, so I don't like that idea.
One thing I do like about the alien interactions is that you don't know their languages at first, and then you learn the words as you go.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah,
It's cool, but caveat. Mm-hmm. I've learned like 90, almost 100 words, And in normal conversations with people, I still only see like one word.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like there's
sometimes
a lot of like
word is enough.
Well, it's
sometimes that's enough.
A lot of the times it's like traveler, warrior, and I'm just like, guys,
like that's right. I am the traveler.
Yeah,
I'm the traveler.
There's like so many words. It's where it's like, what does gromph mean? Like that. Why do I need a translation for herk? H-I-R-K. But
somebody
anyways.
Somewhere, I'm sure, is making a language dictionary, Google Translate.
The language is, too, it almost feels like it's a way to, like, drip feed us, to, like, make it so that you don't get bored with the alien interactions too quickly.
No,
because,
Roy.
Well,
do you think?
Maybe.
No, a lot of the game has obviously been to, like, okay, let's, like, pace it out where let's give another thing that we can scatter around the planets for people to, like, find. And you know, some of that is, I did enjoy, especially early on, but, like, I felt like, you know, even if I feel like all my interactions with aliens, even though, like, I'm going to be getting different items from them and stuff like that, it's not going to be that different. Like, I'm guessing all the space stations are going to look the same. Like, a lot of the moon bases look the same.
Yeah.
A lot of the planets, even though they're different, kind of look the same in all ways. Like, a lot of the animals look pretty random and kind of fucked up. And sometimes that's fun.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just like, you know, they look different in a similar way, if that kind of makes sense a lot of times.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And
you guys are like, man, the future is wide open. I'm just like loving it. Like,
yeah, I'm really enjoying it. And like the interactions with the aliens, like the more language you learn, sometimes there are situations where you don't know what to do. The alien will be asking you to do something and you have to pick an answer.
Oh, that happens all the time, yeah.
And as you learn the language, those responses become easier.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it helps a lot of times where it's like, oh, something hot or whatever. And it's like, oh, okay, I kind of have an idea.
Like if you know the word for isotope, you know to give them an
exactly,
isotope.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think I will keep playing it. I was telling somebody, there was this weird feeling about this game is while I'm playing it, sometimes I feel a little bit bored. I would listen to podcasts and stuff, and I would think about quitting. But then when I quit, I would think about playing. Like, it's this weird loop. Like, it's not a game that I can, like, just compartmentalize and put away and be like, okay, I'm done with that. Yeah. Like, there is, I think, a lot to it, and there's something that is very rare and special about it, but you know, it feels like it kind of pushes me away in a lot of ways as well. And every time I pick it up again, it's kind of this feeling like, oh no, okay, yeah, that this is what it's like. Maybe the feeling is like, oh, the next planet, it will, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, it's like I never have any like real strong feelings while I'm playing it, so I just kind of keep playing it and do things and just like
dead inside.
And then it's really numb.
I think it's the chill out vibe that you're talking about.
And then it's like, and then it's 1 a.m. and I'm like, oh, I guess I should go to sleep.
Right, the time will pass for a long time. Yeah. I get into this loop too, where I'm like my own worst enemy, where I'm like mining a fucking gold mountain for 5 minutes, and then I'm like heading back to my ship, and on the horizon I see another gold mountain, and it's like, I know I'm gonna feel like more bored and pissed off if I go mine that, but like,
but you kind of
want
to do it
to go mine that. I want to buy my next ship or something like that.
I got too greedy with one, like some of the mineable veins, they go like underground and
right.
And I like got too greedy, and I made like this really deep hole that I fell into, and I went like underneath the map into like a radioactive sea.
Whoa,
and it was
really?
Like, yeah, like
I didn't know that shit was possible.
Well, I couldn't see anything though. Like it was.
You probably like clipped through. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I like your story like, better. You fell into a radioactive sea.
Yeah,
and that's what made your PS4 reset.
So yeah, No Man's Sky.
Chill
wave.
Relax.
Chill Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky.
It's really pretty too. We should, you know, we didn't touch on that, but
at times it is.
You mean like sunset?
Yeah. Well, depending on the planet,
right?
Depending on, you know, what animals are going around. I mean, sometimes it is like
how many icons,
like breathtaking. I will say, but sometimes it's like I'm looking through a screen door at, you know, how it does its drawing. I think is really kind of ugly.
It's like ugly. It's like Sega Saturn level pop up.
Really bad. Well, it's not. I almost wonder if it'd be better pop up. Does that like pixelated, like that's what I mean by the screen door thing, you know what I'm talking about? It's like it colors in everything, and it's like, oh, you can see it, but you're not really seeing what's really there, and it fills in. Like, couldn't we have done something with clouds or fog? Or I would take fog. Give me fog. Some fog, maybe foggy planets. Planet pop in, I'll take it, that's fine. Pop in, planet pop up.
Pop in,
come up
pop
with a fictional
out.
Reason. It's like, oh, the gases on this planet make it so large objects only appear like, when they're 50 feet in front of you.
There's like the Turok 64 planet.
Something
where
like
just,
that. Yeah, exactly. It's all cool. Foggy. I guess anything else to add on No Man's Sky? Any questions, Dermot, since we've just talked about No Man's Sky for a half hour?
Well, it's interesting for me because this is a game I would have played at launch if I had the means. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of thinking, like, will I play it now once the, you know, I'm going to miss the zeitgeist once I finally get a chance.
But I wonder. Like, I do think that this is a game that has the potential to have some big patches that would revive. I mean, it's, of course, it's so early now. It's still going very strong.
Yeah.
But I do think even, you know, when do you get back? End of September?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that might be, I have no idea, but maybe that would be right around the time when they start to do some of these big things that they've already promised, like base building and stuff like that. I think you'll get a lot of people, even people who don't like it, giving it another chance when they have more of that kind of stuff. Like, I wouldn't worry. I don't think this is going to be like a game of the, you know, a game of the week or even the month. I think this thing is going to have crazy legs.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, I know, I think the three of you all went in with, like, knowing pretty much nothing about it.
That's true.
Yes.
That is true.
I know what to expect, even though it's the right thing. Like, I'm not all super hyped up about it, but I know what I'm getting into, and I don't know if that's something I really want to get into.
It's better and worse in ways, I think, knowing what you're getting into, right? It's the thing. It's the thing with hype, and I think, you know, a lot of, they very consciously, I have to imagine, you know, kept a lot of things pretty much under wraps. There were some play sessions just in the last couple months and some press. If you were really following close, you could find out a bunch of stuff. But, like, there wasn't the, like, full disclosure on everything. People didn't really know how a lot of things worked until streams happened. And I think that was intentional, and I think it really helped them, and I think it hurt them a little bit. But I am happy, I guess, if I had to, that I got to go in not kind of knowing anything, you know. It was like, because it, again, it's that sense of wonder and discovery, and it's just kind of added to that, I think, especially in the first few hours for me. So
yeah, definitely.
Definitely a podcastable game. Maybe a lot of people are probably listening to this podcast right now. JJ.
Yeah, I would listen to
your advice.
Podcast.
Go to the Monolith. Choose Monolith.
Go to, yeah, no,
let's
go.
Pretend we're narrating
no,
a game right now.
Get
a,
yeah, upgrade get your inventory slots.
Exactly. Get a transmission. Go get a ship.
Don't
get
shoot
your ships.
Don't shoot that Sentinel. Don't shoot. Nope, don't.
No. Do shoot the Sentinels because they drop some good loot.
So
steel titanium.
My last little complaint. I honestly didn't know. I was just like shooting plants and shit, and yeah. like the Sentinel like came up and looked at it. And I'm like, oh, it's a robot. Like, hi, yeah. how you doing, robot? And then like came over and looked at me. I wish I had footage of this because yeah. I was like, you can see me looking at it and being like, wait, is something wrong? Like, yeah. did I do something bad or whatever? And then I went about my business. I shot some other plant and it started attacking me.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah.
what did I shoot like the one? There's millions of these things around. Thing, robot, I didn't kill anything.
Sentinels will react if you shoot valuable resources.
Stuff?
But it's it depends on the planet. Some
yeah.
planets have very hostile
they're bigger dicks
robots
than others,
or sentinels.
Another,
that, yeah, that, the sentinels on like a super hostile planet will just come up to you and be like, yo, step the fuck off.
Well, yeah, and it was... Yeah.
And sometimes they just won't give a shit.
It was funny because after I did the plant thing and had that unfortunate experience with the Sentinels, I killed my first animal at some point. I think it attacked me. I think it drew first blood, but I think it was in self defense. And like Sentinel comes up and like looks at it, looks at me, looks at it, looks at me, and I'm like putting it together. I'm like, I'm like slowly like backing away, and then like end up running away. Like, yeah. I'm just gonna be over here.
And it works like Grand Theft Auto. The more Sentinels yeah. and stuff you kill, the higher your star rating goes up. Then
oh,
the
really?
More crazy shit comes out to try and kill you.
It's amazing the amount of things that I've never really worried about my health. I honestly think I still don't understand the health system.
I don't
have like the shield system on my ship. I kind of don't really.
When
know.
I get attacked in my ship, I just die.
Right.
I just sit there and
just kill me.
I'll come back.
Yeah, that's funny. All right, well let's move on.
Yeah.
It's really like there are not a lot of other sexy options that people have been playing. Mm. Certainly not many Japanese games.
Well, one that's technically a Japanese game.
That's news technically.
Yes.
How is that technically? I mean,
because
it's IP.
It's developed in Canada.
Well, go ahead and talk about it.
So, Metroid Prime Federation Force.
Yep. Mm. So, this is the part of the podcast. I should have said this earlier up front. Let's see. We need to get this down to like a snappy, mm-hmm. like 10-second thing.
We need
a jingle on this
yeah.
too.
Basically, until we start getting paid for this podcast, people.
Yeah.
Paid. I have an idea on that too. I'll talk about that later.
Oh,
but,
great.
But until that time, this podcast is unofficially affiliated with 8-4, the localization company. And
yes.
we do have clients that work in the gaming industry mm-hmm. that do give us projects that we can't talk about until they let us announce that we're working on them. And so sometimes we talk about those companies' games and their products and stuff like that. And, of course, we like fillet them nonstop
mm-hmm.
and try to lie to our audience as best we can
yes.
and tell them how amazing everything is.
Amazing.
And we censor ourselves and don't say anything bad. And so you should assume that everything we say about any game, whether or not you know that we're affiliated with the company, is a lie, as it obviously has been everything we've said up until now already.
Well, the facts are probably true. Our opinions are mostly
I'm
lies.
Not even going to commit to that.
Okay.
No facts, JJ.
All right. No facts.
No facts on this podcast.
The no facts zone.
No facts zone. So
that was more than 10 seconds.
With yeah. that said, yeah, that's why we got to get it. That's why we get it down. Work
we can
on
just
it.
We can just go
that.
Like no facts zone.
There you go.
And
no facts zone.
Yeah. We'll get a thing for that.
All right. So JJ,
yes.
Now that we're in the no facts zone,
that's right.
Tell us what you think.
Metroid Prime Federation Force.
We
so
got
this
copies
is,
from Nintendo.
We got copies from Nintendo,
those.
Thank you. And I got to play this on a Nintendo 3DS that was provided to us by a friend of the show, David Wei. I can't pronounce his last name, NG.
Okay.
He's a fan of the podcast. Him and his wife came to visit us, and they gave us this really nice...
Nice U.S. region podcast.
U.S. region 3DS.
And you took my FedEx package.
It was already open, but yeah. Anyways.
I opened it. I let you. I'm just... Just telling the people.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyways, this is another game where, like, I think the expectations were
Like, if No Man's Sky was in the clouds, the expectations for this game are, like, in hell. Like, in the depths of, I don't know, whatever.
Ocean.
So I went in with, like, a very open mind. And I have to say,
You went in with an open mind even though expectations were down in the depths of hell?
Yeah, because I like Next Level Games. Mm. They made the Luigi's Mansion for 3DS, which I enjoyed a lot. And I know they make good stuff.
Friends of the show.
Yeah, friends of the show. And I was expecting, like, Monster Hunter with, like, Metroid-ish graphics or whatever.
Right.
But actually, it's more like... it's very puzzle-based. The Zelda game that came out
Triforce
recently.
Heroes.
Triforce Heroes.
Okay.
It's like that, but with Metroid. So it's very puzzle-heavy.
Okay.
And like there's a lot
puzzle-heavy, kind
of
like that?
Sort of, but like there's some stuff that you have to think about. And you do it. You can play through the whole game multiplayer.
Okay.
Four players.
Give me an example of one of these kind of puzzle type.
Okay, so one area in the third stage or something like that, it revolves around these balls that you have to put in these holes.
Okay.
And at one point you get into this room where there are four holes and four like paths you can take that each have a ball at each end. And each ball you have to go through this like kind of puzzle or whatever.
These are not other like varied Samus's or when you say ball, it's not like a ball.
No, it's just a ball.
Okay,
like a ball.
Sometimes ball is just a ball.
Energy ball. when you play through it yourself, you just you go through each path, and each path is like okay, you have to shoot the ball around this curve, or like there are these steps, and you have to figure out a way to shoot the ball up the steps.
Okay,
and stuff like that. But like you can see,
it's like a beach ball. It has like physics, and you're shooting.
Everything. Bouncing. Yeah, ball has
a blast
totally.
Ball?
It's sort of like a blast ball, but smaller.
Oh, okay.
You can kind of see where if you were playing with four people, you could tell everybody to go down their own paths and do it all like really quickly.
So when you play single player, there's not like any AI or simulated other players?
You can have drones that follow you and shoot at stuff.
I see.
But otherwise, you're just playing by yourself.
Okay. So the puzzles have to be able to be solved by you playing by yourself.
Slowly,
okay.
But yes, you can solve all of them.
Gotcha.
So it's just like Triforce Heroes in that way.
Yeah, it is very much like Triforce Heroes, which was one thing that I was really happy about, because like if it was just going to be Monster Hunter where you're just like going and like running gunning,
we didn't think it would be Monster Hunter, right? Because you didn't see like big enemies that you would be taking down,
right? Well, there are like boss enemies and stuff like that, but it definitely feels like a Metroid game, which was the most important thing to me.
Okay.
A lot of secrets.
Really?
You're like going through, and it's not a whole bunch of enemies everywhere. That's not this run and gun sort of thing. You're definitely like exploring, solving puzzles.
Is it Metroidvania style, where you're going to just sorry to use that word, but like where you backtrack to places and now you have access to something that you didn't before?
Not exactly. It's mission based. So each mission is its own little mini level.
Okay.
But is it like a corridor? Like, is it linear?
No. I mean, there's one path to the end, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're just walking down like an L-shaped room.
Is there much of a story to it?
Yes. If I had one complaint, it's that there is a lot of text. There's a lot of reading.
Sure.
In before and after missions.
Okay.
I don't know if that's just because I'm at the beginning, but
do you have to read it, or are you just kind of skipping?
You can
through
skip it. Okay. I like started to read, but I just skipped.
There's not like a terminal where you have to type in, the name of your dead partner's wife.
Unfortunately, I mean, fortunately, no. And, okay. And throughout the levels, there are places like in normal Metroid Prime games where you can like inspect it to learn more lore and stuff like that.
I'd forgotten this was a Metroid Prime brand game. I don't know why I was just thinking of it as like Metroid Federation Force.
Right.
So
I'm having a lot of fun with it. And one thing, like almost instantly, it made me think, oh, I really want a new Metroid Prime game. Like now.
Yes.
Like right now.
The proper one.
Yes, sir. NX launch. Make it happen.
Yeah. That needs to happen like yesterday. So if you're one of those people who is hankering for a new Metroid, I feel like this will satisfy you at least a little bit and kind of rekindle your desire for Metroid again. I don't know. Sure. And make sure you have people to play with, because I think it'll
be better. Yeah, have you played online at all?
Not yet. I haven't tried it yet.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I doubt anybody's playing in the middle of night Japanese times.
So. Right. Do you know if there's, like, an emote system like they had in Triforce Heroes?
There is, I don't know exactly, but you can set the language of your character. I thought this was kind of cool. This is, like, a little localization thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you can customize your mech. And one of the customizations is your like, mech's language. So you can set it to when people, like, if you, maybe if you send out an emote, instead of saying, like, hello, it'll say, like, konnichiwa in Japanese. It'll, like, the voice will actually say konnichiwa.
Oh, wow. Oh, there's little voice things?
Yeah. Which I thought was pretty cool.
That is very cool.
Yeah.
The you mentioned, like, this getting you jazzed for a proper Metroid Prime game. I watched, as part of Summer Games Done Quick, I think it was, I watched a recent Metroid Prime speedrun, and even just, like, in the last year, they're still, like, doing stuff. It's really amazing what they do with that game.
I should really just go back and play Metroid Prime.
Playing the remastered Wii version, trilogy. I started to feel like maybe I shouldn't watch this. I ended up watching it, but I made my peace with it, because it's like, it's almost like watching a different game.
Yeah,
totally. They're doing it so differently in the speedrun.
There's no way you could recreate all of it.
And they're, like, skipping whole parts of it and whatever. Yeah. So it felt like it wasn't really spoiling stuff as much. But, like, yeah, it just made me remember, like, how fucking amazing. Like, that was a game. Talk about, like, expectations. I was reviewing that game for EGM, and nobody really knew much about that game at all until we got the, like, lockbox from Nintendo. And I had just moved to San Francisco along with EGM, and so you know, and it was the fall issues, we were really busy, but, you know, my girlfriend and all my other friends besides the EGM people were back in Chicago, and so I had like lots of time, and I just completely, like, I was, like, totally blown away, but there was nobody really to talk to, because you couldn't even talk to the other reviewers about it. But I was just like, holy shit, like, I think this is a 10. Like, this is a 10. This was fucking amazing.
That was another thing where, like, I remember when they announced it, everybody was like, oh my god, Metroid, a first-person shooter? Oh, yeah. Nobody wants that.
There was a penny arcade. I mean, we were making fun of it in EGM as well, too. It was like, what? Oh, now every game has to be a first-person shooter because of Halo, you know? Which is, that was that kind of time. But anyway, yeah, I would love a return to form. I mean, the second and third ones were not bad games in any respect, but did not, I think, live up to the promise of a sequel, of sequels to the first game. And so I hope it's Retro working on it, and I hope they've been working on it for a long time. And goddamn, I want that to be if not launch.
Yeah,
early NX game.
Yeah, like So
anyway,
so
on the side there. But
if you want a game to kind of ease you back into Metroid, I think this is a legitimately good game, a legitimately fun game.
Do the graphics not, like, take you out of it?
No,
they're not like, this is like blocky Metroid babies.
No, because it feels like Metroid.
Okay,
it feels like the atmosphere.
I gotcha.
And everything feels like Metroid.
How's the music and stuff?
Great,
really.
Yeah,
very moody.
Yeah, very moody. Sound effects are, like, crisp and cool. Like, I think. Okay. They did a bang up job making a Metroid game, even though it's not the kind of Metroid game you may have wanted to begin with.
Bang up job, Brownie.
Yep.
Bang up job. Good job. Brownie. Should we check in on Pokemon Go? I see you guys every once in a while sending pictures back and forth online about things that you've caught or presumably care about happening on Go.
Every time I come home, I get a report from Haruki about what he's caught, and he's become kind of a little
Sandshrew.
He's been
do you guys know, like, why we never even talked about why Sandshrew, Roy?
I'm guessing you're referencing the episode where there was, like, a dude who had a Sandshrew, and he's like, Sandshrew, get in the pool.
Yeah, do you remember that one?
Yeah.
I remember almost nothing about the Pokemon cartoon, but I very distinctly remember Sandshrew, like,
I have no idea.
Fucking kid.
He was like, he would, like, train his Sandshrew against, like, elements that it was weak against. Like, that's why he would say, get in the pool, to harden it to water.
Yes, he was a badass. Yeah. He was a badass.
Or a bad trainer.
And that's why you are Sandshrew, Roy.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so the Pokemon Go, like, I get a report from Haruki at the when I get home every day.
Yep.
And he's become
your son.
He's become kind of a dick about it.
Uh oh.
Like,
is he rubbing your face in it?
Yeah. He's like,
really?
He's like, who has a Geodude? And I'm like, he's like, yeah. I do. No, Daddy, you don't have one of those.
Charlie horsing you.
You don't have one of those. I'm just like, when did you become like
holding
this?
You down and farting in your face?
That's why he's been playing so much No Man's Sky.
Yeah. Well, he's yeah.
What's his take on No Man's Sky?
Is he like, I tried to get him to play it. He's not too interested. He's like 100% into Overwatch.
That doesn't look like
right
a. But what happened to the Pokemon, Daddy? It looks like a nightmare.
You can't get him to play anything other than Overwatch and Pokemon Go.
Okay.
Like the other day, you know, they had that Splatoon Splatfest, and I'm like, hey, Haruki, they having the Splatfest? He's like, I don't like
Splatoon,
that game. That game sucks.
He did not say that.
He did. He's like, the game sucks. I only play Overwatch now.
Yes.
Whoa.
No.
Okay, whoa.
Yeah, he's like, I only play Overwatch
now. Let's set some boundaries here, Dad.
Kids, their tastes change.
No, you gotta you gotta be a parent.
I told him
discipline.
No, you that game. You don't not like that game. You're just playing this one.
Put
now.
His nose. No, no. Put his nose right down in the
ink.
No. But yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, that's your Haruki update of the week.
Good. Thank you. Yeah. Let's talk about something Japanese here. For once.
Yeah.
For once, god damn it. It does not get, I think, any more Japanese than this. Dermot, fill our quota of super Japanese virtual idol talk action.
So recently there was a new demo for Hatsune Miku Project Diva X.
So are you into this? Are you into Hatsune Miku? You are.
I am.
And always have been?
Well...
Did you see her in concert in America?
I didn't. It was sold out.
Oh, shit. Okay.
But there's one in Tokyo in September.
Uh-oh.
2 days.
Uh-oh.
And I'm trying to go.
Can't she just be like... can't you just like fucking download it and she's in concert? I mean, what's the difference? She's like, she's five foot tall and she's projected.
She's there and you're there.
Yeah,
she's there together. In what respect?
As a hologram.
She played Letterman.
No, I saw that. Yeah, I saw that. But like, if anybody has a hologram machine, they can have a live Hatsune Miku concert, right?
Go to Home Depot, get yourself a hologram machine,
right? Just dust that thing off. You
for
can
your
use
kid's
the office
birthday
hologram
party.
Machine, just like the PS4 with the No Man's Sky. So you're a Hatsune Miku. Do you like the music, or have you liked the previous games? Or
They've only released, I think, 3 so far in the West.
Yes.
I've played all of them.
We worked on.
Wow.
Yeah, which one?
We did.
Mirai.
Mirai. That's Project Mirai.
That's it. That's it.
Yes, the 3DS one.
That was the one. Yeah. The one we worked on. I did work on that game.
Yeah.
For like a month, I think.
It was Project Mirai.
It's interesting because it's become an annualized franchise in the West.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this one, like obviously I've only played the demo, but it's shaping up to be maybe the best.
Okay. Rhythm action like the previously? Or what are we talking about?
It's so the rhythm mechanics are more in line with the Project Diva, like F and F second.
Okay, give me a reference that anybody.
I'm speaking to the Miku fans.
I know. Okay, they got it.
Just like Miku.
Let's look for the rest of us.
Yeah.
I mean, not for me, but for the other. So, the few people out there in the show that have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah.
Is that like Rock Band?
So in Project Mirai, which is one
like
you may be familiar with.
Is that like the Rock Band?
Madden Player.
Is that like Guitar Hero?
So I guess the biggest mechanic in it is that the notes all fly in from different angles.
Okay.
So it's a more skill-based.
When a thing flies into a circle.
Yeah.
All right, that means it's Guitar Hero. Okay, go on. Continue.
All right, well, okay, so it's Guitar Hero.
There you go.
And I guess that's all you really need to know, Mark.
Okay, all right.
Are there
so
any, there's
a demo
any, like,
for that out now.
I know Mirai had stuff you could do like outside of the outside of the little rhythm games.
You could dress her up and
That's and actually stuff. One of the biggest changes that I've noticed in the demo is that you unlock modules, which are like different outfits, actually by doing well in a like during a concert.
Oh, that's good.
Instead of having to buy them, which is something I actually missed out when like the first time I played a Hatsune Miku game, I didn't know you could go in and buy new outfits.
So is the draw here that you really like the music, or you really like the character, or that you like just collecting stuff, or you like music games, or what's the...
I like music games, but I also like the Hatsune Miku games because they're generally pretty happy.
So it's like a nice
game. Upbeat, you
mean? Yeah, they're yeah, and well, I mean they make me feel happy. So
how does Guitar Hero make you feel?
Guitar, it depends on what you're playing, man. Like you play,
show
put
me on
some...
the doll where what Guitar Hero did to you.
Oh, Guitar Hero is not my jam. Okay. I got to be honest. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, Dave, man.
If we had
put
like
it out there. Put it out there,
like Fiddle Hero, I'd be all about that.
Okay,
that would be pretty rad, actually.
Yeah, I think it, that's
the only song is "Devil Went Down to Georgia."
No. Georgia. Let's stop talking about that.
Market it to Europe.
No,
yeah. No.
So you were playing on the Vita, presumably, because
yes.
you don't have the
PS4. I'm separated from my consoles.
So there's a demo out there now, and you're digging it. You think you're gonna buy it?
Yeah. So I was actually not gonna get it at launch,
yeah,
but it absolutely sold me.
Nice.
The demos are really good about that. Usually they pick good songs, but it sounds like the direction they're going sonically with this one is good.
Right on.
Pretty much. Cool.
Do you have any Hatsune Miku goods?
I don't.
You don't?
I just have all the games.
Not any goods?
I don't have any.
Do you dress? Have you ever dressed up like Hatsune Miku?
I took a picture with someone dressed as Hatsune Miku at PAX a couple years ago.
Okay.
That's a prized possession.
But that's not what I asked.
I know, I'm trying to get away from
question.
The question.
You did not answer my question.
No, those wigs are actually kind of pricey. So
you're still not answering my question. You're like very good at dodging it. It's a yes or no question. Have you or have you not ever dressed up yourself as Hatsune Miku?
I have not, but I can't say I've never looked into the possibility.
All right. Well,
you know, my birthday's coming up, Mark, so you know.
Let's leave that door open.
Going away gift.
I mean, we have some stuff left over from when we worked on Mariah or something like that. All right. Well, we should probably take a break and come back and talk about some news.
Sure.
So stick around, and we'll be right back. All right, we are back with the news.
It's the news.
Pretty similar to last week.
Is that another Final Fantasy 15 callback?
Yes, it is.
Nice. Yeah, I was like, why is everybody Batman in Final Fantasy
15?
Like,
yes.
There's British Batman. There's Batman. There's tattooed Batman.
Why is there one British guy?
I don't know. Well, I mean,
they imported him.
That seems so weird to me. Anyways,
it's fine to mix it up, but it's just like when everybody looks like they have the most teased out, super mega Japanese anime haircut,
straight from a host
club. Yes, exactly. Some accents are not going to work. Okay,
yeah.
It does have that that lady who I think is related to the Sandshrew guy.
oh man, as someone from the south, like her dialogue is cringy when she's like, oh, fuck, what was
hit
it?
Hit too close to home, JJ?
Yeah, no, just like nobody talks like that.
You're like, you sound like my mom, but you look all sexy and I'm very confused. And
no. My mom's not from the south.
So. Oh, she's not?
No, she's from Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, so no y'alls and stuff like that?
Well, y'alls is fine, but she's like cantankering. I don't know. Like, it was like old timey.
Right.
Southern talk.
Well,
it's a fantasy world.
Yeah, well, sure. Let's talk about NX.
NX.
In our annual bi-weekly NX update. We needed a theme song for that.
So this is, well...
Dermot, go. NX theme song. Go.
Oh, man. I don't know.
Go. Do it. No, think. No, don't think. Do it. NX. Go. Free associate. Go.
Oh. Yeah.
Whoa. All right. No, stop. Stop, Dermot. Stop. You're fine with the news. We'll keep you on the news.
Okay.
JJ, give us the NX theme song.
It's not out yet. It's not out yet.
No, too many words.
It's the NX news.
Okay.
I'm saying,
well,
no,
okay.
No
actually,
words.
That wasn't bad.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe we'll keep that. Anyway.
but this is the... So this is technically the last podcast before September,
God,
which is supposed to be when...
Please, no more.
Rumored that they're supposed to announce
supposed to be, yeah. So that's, I mean, part of that, I guess we can talk about that. So, like, that's... You're talking about... Was that in the Eurogamer thing?
That was in the Eurogamer
thing. Right, okay. So... I mean, we were talking about this in the office randomly this week. Yeah. They have to announce it soon, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It's starting to feel like it's going to get delayed.
Not just because... So here's the different ways of talking about this is, like, it's pretty unprecedented for them not to say anything on a major system that's presumably pretty different from the last one.
Yeah.
This close, like we say close because I think they had said that it was going to come out in March, right?
Yeah.
Because it's got to come out before their fiscal year. Yeah. So if they were to change that, it would change their fiscal targets.
There's only 6 months.
So it would be kind of a big deal. There's only 6 months. And so presumably you have to explain the system. You have to explain, I mean, let's say it launches with 5 games only, you know, like the 3DS or whatever. Mm. That's still like... besides Zelda, that's you still gotta explain a lot of games that people are seeing only for the first time. You have to give them some runway, as they call it, right?
Right.
You have to. You also have the fall season, which is like people are going to be being bombarded with all this other information. We have in the news. There's the Sony hardware announcement thing coming up. It seems like they're going to be talking about Neo in New York on the 7th, and then you know you have all the big games dropping and stuff like that. Like. So it's got to be soon, right? I mean, this is ballsy even being where we're at right now.
Yeah.
Is super ballsy to be as quiet as they've been able to be.
You know,
rumors are happening, but there's nothing solid that we know of.
It's like, you know, when presidential candidates are like, about to announce their vice presidents and it's just like rumors for weeks and it's people like oh it could be this guy it could be this guy it could be this guy and we're like finally in the phase where like Donald Trump is you know like teleporting into
all right I think
Pence's house
we get the metaphor
so I feel like I feel like we're getting like right it's like right there
but I for think some, of it, I think of a JJ as Christmas morning
oh
I think of it as Christmas morning where it's like you know the presents are in the house somewhere.
Yes.
Like, they have to be. Like, their preparations have to be happening. If you're really going to get these presents on Christmas morning, presents are in the house somewhere.
You've given up on Santa Claus.
Hopefully somebody has seen, you know, maybe somebody's seen the size of the box or you, like, hear from your brother that, oh, there's a big one in there for you or something like that. But, like, that information has to be able to be got by somebody if it's going to happen in March. But, like... Nintendo's doing an amazing job at keeping it quiet. I'm just thinking, like, how are they going to PR this thing? Like, maybe it's a whole new method that they're going to do, similar to how they did, you know, Zelda only at E3, but, like, some gutsy kind of different moves happening here. I hope it's all intentional and none of it is because it's like, oh, shit, like, this isn't ready to show still, or... oh shit, you know, we have to figure all this stuff out still before we can do it. Or, you know, it could be a million things, but I'm hoping it's because whatever they're showing really is so different, kind of what they've implied, that they really have to wait as long as they can before telling anybody about it. I'm just like, how long can that possibly be? Like,
I don't know.
It's got to be soon.
I think if we get out of September and we have heard nothing, then we can start worrying.
Yeah, I think that's true. Well, like,
so we started here. So there's a lot of like people going around patents now. We got a lot of feedback on our segment last time, which was cool. Thanks everybody who mentioned that they liked listening to that or had an opinion one way or the other on that. We love talking about this kind of stuff. So in this week's like spitting into the wind patent search, basically there's some new images of kind of gesture control, kind of going back to the focus of our talk last time, which is like either this thing is too big to be a portable or it's too small to be used as like a real system when you're at home and have the screen chunked out of it, going off the Eurogamer rumor. But anyway, this is like using hand gestures, kind of like Kinect like sensor presumably on it, where you could control the image in the patent is like a kart racing game.
Right. It made me think of the power glove scene in The Wizard.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But like, this kind of thing, you know, obviously brings up a lot of problems with like fidelity and stuff like that. But, you know, and would be very kind of Kinect-like in a way, but it would be something different, at least for Nintendo. It would let them have the unit be kind of ostensibly portable.
I don't know.
Something interesting to
there's like a million,
talk about.
There's a million patents, and yeah. They're all crazy.
There's another one for detachable item that kind of looks like
detachable
the thing mentioned in the Eurogamer report. There's that Reddit thread that had that pretty cool image of like different controllers that could potentially like why detachable controllers, because the right one could be taken off and could be like the right side of a GameCube controller for Smash, right. Or the right side of a, I don't know, like a gun controller for Resident Evil, right side of a fishing controller, like they like anybody still ever plays those games, which they don't. And then like
I think that's
a fun idea, but never gonna, well, I'm not gonna say never going to happen, but
I mean, I think it's like a logical next step for like amiibos and stuff like that, where they are toys that kind of become parts of the games, like a lot already.
They're
in
gonna
Japan,
keep doing amiibo though.
In Japan though, like, you know, most kids' toys come with like a base unit that you buy a whole bunch of doodads for. Kamen Rider belts, all sorts of
things.
The
last level 5 thing was all it was.
That's all it is. So like
everything was Kamen Rider belts.
Everybody was doing it. And you know, they could very well do that with this. Like a lot of kids games could have special controllers.
Right.
That you could use that could
Yokai Watch could have
exactly. Like it could have like a little metal reader
watch attachment, and the giant like Wii U pad goes on your wrist.
Sure,
I'd love to see that.
Yeah,
Yokai Apple Watch.
Yeah, the Yokai Apple Watch.
Yeah,
but I just want to see what the fucking thing is already.
Really?
No, I just want to know.
Savor the anticipation.
I've gone past the anticipation part.
Really?
Anticipation.
The anticipation.
Yeah.
maybe the old. In the old NES game, Anticipation will actually be an NX launch game.
So I say that as if that's actually something anybody would want.
Hey, Nintendo takes down Nintendo Power Collection. Yes, in the Too Good to Be True, yes, it was section from the Internet Archive after noticing it. There's no notice about why it's gone empty, but yeah, you know, they have to protect their shit, so it's not much of a surprise.
Is the Internet Archive or archive.org or whatever, I guess that's not like a library, that's just some site? Like a government-run thing, I guess?
No, it's not a government-run thing.
I see. Because, like, I feel like those magazines should be, like...
They belong in a museum, JJ!
Or, a library.
Maybe they'll come in the NES Classic Mini.
I'm sure there's a library somewhere
that would be
has
really cool. Actually,
them all,
like on that Game Center CX game where they had the magazines. Like,
exactly.
If you could have the Nintendo guidebook inside the thing. Anyways,
NES Mini Part 2.
That's a good idea.
Volume 2. We'll have that. Sony confirms PlayStation meeting for September 7th, where new PS4 may be unveiled, according to Polygon. Here it just says it's about the PlayStation business, but I think that this was rumored to be about their. They're rumored next hardware that people figured out that this meeting was going to happen before it was announced, and then a meeting that sounds like it could be that was happening. So
this is like the exact opposite problem of the NX. Like, this is the
too much out
this
there
is
about
the
it?
You found your presents in the house. You've already opened them and you've seen them, and you have to act surprised on Christmas morning when you find out you got.
Well, yes and no, potentially. I mean, the reports do seem credible, and there has been a lot of information.
I mean, it could be
there,
totally
right. But we still haven't, like, had it sold to us. Like, why is this thing cool and exciting?
Right.
Like, I think most of the stuff we've been hearing is like, oh, like, what's this going to mean? There's, like, a lot of worries. It has not been like, why is this thing potentially cool? Like, why would I really want this? Or, like, what can you show me that proves that I would want it. So
I'm just thinking more in terms of, like, you know, the surprise.
Sure, I get it. Yeah. I mean, it would have been weird if, like, what if there had been no leaks whatsoever, and they just announced a September 7th thing about quote unquote the PlayStation business? You know, be like, wait, what?
Yeah,
what the
exactly.
Fuck is this about a new handheld, like Vita 2?
Well,
like,
I mean, they said before E3 that it exists, and they weren't ready to talk about it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But it's like, but just talking about the point back and forth about, like, oh well, do we know too much? Is it not like no longer Christmas morning or whatever?
So like maybe they like have games that they're gonna show. Maybe that's what's gonna get people excited. I don't know.
There's gotta be. I mean, they gotta show something, right?
Vita 2.
I'm sure it's not going to be like a thing of specs like they used to do at their E3,
right?
Like gigaflops or whatever.
Yeah. Maybe we'll see that same God of War trailer, just like with better graphics.
Maybe it'll run like 100 times as fast, the entire thing, and I'll just be like, and I'll be like, see, did you see how amazing it is?
700 frames per second.
Much faster. Yeah. Konami is making a new Metal Gear game, Metal Gear Survive, because that's what Metal Gear is doing. It's surviving.
Yeah, get it?
It's still alive.
It's
kind of a zombie of its former self, but it's still alive, running on the Fox engine. Pits four players against zombified enemies against they'll have to, well, survive, according to Polygon. Press release also confirms quote-unquote new weaponry, JJ.
Oh, finally.
And, you know, the trailer hints that familiar characters like Big Boss could return, although there's no confirmation. There's not really any story to be found in the trailer. I think you fall through it like a wormhole.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So it's kind of like an alt universe, like Blood Dragon. Yeah.
You fall into a wormhole and you end up in like the Capcom version of Metal Gear. Capcom, where everybody looks like a Capcom character.
Oh, is that what you're? Is that where you're going with that? Yeah, I was like, wow, somebody's definitely watched Walking Dead with the thing at the fence and the poking people through things. You know, I think they have a tough fucking hill to climb with whatever they do. It's hard to judge. I mean, people were really. I was like, oh my god, reading the comments. I'm like, this is going to be so bad. And I watched the trailer, and I was like, okay, like that did not get me excited at all. I wasn't. You know, I mean, it could have been a lot worse in terms of like if there had been dialogue, if there had been story, like
it was just super generic.
It was, and it was also like, is this really like Metal Gear? It felt to me like kind of like Call of Duty Zombies kind of
for me. It was like Resident Evil 6. It felt and looked like Resident Evil 6.
Well, when I say Call of Duty Zombies, I mean like, hey, we're going to use the same thing. It's the same engine. It's kind of a different game, but it's also the same thing, and it's kind of. Winkingly, I mean, sort of in the same universe, but also not really. And, you know, they're not selling it for a full game. I think they clarified
it's $30.
Gonna be like, well, I don't think they said $30, but it's going to be like Ground Zeroes. 60,
what they should have done, what Konami should have done to get people back in their favor, instead of like making the stupid spin-off game, they should have remade Metal Gear Solid 1. That'll give them a chance to get a team together, learn how to make a Metal Gear game.
Yeah.
You get the game that you already like,
I think,
with the graphics and the Fox Engine graphics.
Right.
That is something people would want.
Yeah, I've heard that put forth before, but I will say as the first DLC, you probably want to do something a little more derivative that could be happen faster. Like, let's not forget they need to put this out sometime. You know, relatively recently. I guess they've only ever said 2017, though, so far.
That still feels really fast, though.
Well, but, you know, as DLC... Well, I guess as potentially $30 DLC, it is
pretty
fast. Is
it DLC? Fast, or
I thought it was a separate thing. You're right. It is a separate thing. I guess like, it's... Blood Dragon is probably a good comparison, because it is a separate game that you can buy. Like, Ubisoft has done a few of these now. It's like a separate game that you can buy, but it's very much of the game that it came from, sort of thing.
Do you think Kojima knew about this game before he left?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I feel like he did, because 2017 release is too soon for him to not have known.
I'm sure they had some talks about what the DLC was going to be and if he was going to be a part of it or whatever, something like that. But
it doesn't look
knows.
Like they've got a lot of new assets to make or anything like
right,
that.
Right, I mean, it's Fox Engine.
Yeah.
So...
I'm not like excited by it. I don't think, you know, it's not Metal Gear Pachinko, but it is
true.
It is there not is also,
it could be worse
what I would have wanted at all, but I'm just like, I'm kind of cringing thinking of somebody trying to do a Metal Gear story. It could turn out really bad, especially like with wormholes and stuff like
they
that.
They kind of tried to do a trailer, and it just felt like in a generic
trailer
AAA
didn't
game
really,
trailer.
Like, set me on fire either. Yeah, but in other big game news, Final Fantasy 15, the rumored delay got confirmed. It's now. After it's missing Black Friday too, which is kind of surprising. November 29th was September 30th. And basically they were saying that we need more time to deliver on the vision. They apologized. They were saying they didn't want to, they wanted to avoid having a day one patch. I'd be surprised if they still didn't have a day one
patch.
They just didn't want it to be like a crazy, you know, big like Master Chief Collection.
There was a weird like he was talking about people who don't have the internet or whatever.
People on submarines, JJ. Our troops.
That's
our troops in nuclear submarines for months at a time, JJ.
What
Final Fantasy are they gonna play?
I don't know, but like. Yeah, that
their chocobos must be balanced correctly.
It kind of seemed like that. Maybe that wasn't the total truth behind the delay. But
well, I don't know. Like they said, the game, like the master version, is done, and it went like gold for whatever that means these days. But
did they?
Yeah, it went gold, and now they're taking that back and then moving.
Yeah,
I mean, when you get to the when you get to the amount of people that play something like a Final Fantasy 15, even the like. I'm just going to pull a number out of my butt and let's say like 90% of people are connected with their PlayStation or whatever, or 80 or whatever. That 10% is with a game that potentially as big as Final Fantasy 15 is not a small number.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This is a mass market game.
I'm sure.
This is like Call of Duty probably has the biggest games are probably the ones that don't have as many people download the day one patch. I am also taking your point that it's like there's probably some problems going on.
Yeah.
For you to miss even like Black Friday, or maybe there's too many other games coming out, so they had to avoid the other dates. But well, there you go.
I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway.
Doesn't sound good.
PS4 firmware update coming soon. It gives folders. Dun, 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 dun.
Why is everybody always so late to put folders in their OSs?
I don't know.
It's important though.
The only thing that I care about is Twitter video uploads.
Okay, that's nice.
Go from 10 seconds, which is actually 9 seconds, to 120 seconds, which is like finally you can post something that
I was gonna say. I thought they put that in a recent update, and they had. I just never used that.
The PS4.
I'm happy for other people to have that.
The PS4 just doesn't have that option.
Right.
Now it does. Finally, the shitty thing is that you know when you get a play of the game in Overwatch, you can't tweet it from your PS4 because it's not
JJ.
But now you can. So
quick menu, blah blah blah. Now only covers a portion of the screen. A few other tweaks. You can check it out. It's in beta right now. I think they don't say exactly when it will come out.
No.
Dermot, you'll be excited. Hatsune Miku Experience coming to PSVR. World exclusive. Sorry, I can't do that in Hatsune Miku voice.
Yeah.
Sega announced at Gamescom today, Dermot. Does this mean you will be buying PlayStation VR?
If I had the money to buy PlayStation VR, that would be the first thing I downloaded.
Really?
Mm.
Not Res Infinite.
Well, having not played
Infinite. Grab your shit and get out. Take your fucking Hatsune Miku wig with you.
But you get to, you get to go to a Hatsune Miku concert without having to go there.
See, Dermot? See what I'm talking about? You were joking about the hologram
thing.
Well,
so the thing with this is...
This is a hologram.
This is probably more real than the hologram.
Yeah.
And plus, no one can be watching you, Dermot. You can do whatever you want.
Well, we're going to get there.
Whatever you want.
You start out in the crowd, though.
Once you're back in America.
It's funny. You start out in the crowd, and then if you cheer good enough, you get to be on stage with her.
She points at you. Holy shit.
Yeah, they say you have to move the move controller.
Yeah.
They don't say how.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we can imagine.
Yeah.
Para para dancing.
Dude, Japanese concert, you know.
Yeah, if they make you do like full like otaku dances, dude. Yeah, that'd be.
I want to see a video.
I want to see some moves and some TVs.
Big time. Very exciting. October 14th in both North America and European markets, which is weird because that's the day after the PlayStation VR launches. Huh. Weird. Hatsune Miku VR Future Live. That's the full title.
VR Future.
VR Future Live.
We're living in the VR Future.
VR Future. No price yet, Dermot. So
VR Future.
Save it up.
I can't do a Miku voice either.
Microsoft is talking about stuff at Gamescom. They clarified some interesting things. One thing is like a bunch of confused messaging out of E3 about like, oh, Scorpio can play everything that Xbox One can and vice versa. And wait, but also it's more powerful and you can play VR on it. And like, wait, aren't those two things contradictory? They're making it sound very much like so Scorpio only will be able to be whatever they're, what are they calling it? high fidelity VR. They're like, we don't think of high fidelity VR as console gaming. That's a different thing. So everything you can play on Xbox One, you can play on Scorpio, but not necessarily vice versa. VR stuff is only going to be that. But I think they clarified that they're not planning any non-VR console titles to be Scorpio only. But I don't know if they say that nobody else can do that or whatever.
It sounds like the Tomb Raider situation.
Explain.
Well, so Rise of the Tomb Raider is coming to PS4 this fall.
Uh-huh.
And there's a VR exclusive, PSVR exclusive like mode in that.
Okay.
But you can play it on your PS4.
Right.
Interesting. Okay. So maybe they'll have like exclusive like Xbox One VR exclusives and stuff like that.
I don't know. I mean, who the hell knows?
That would be such bullshit. I don't want to buy more than one headset. Those things are expensive. Anyways. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Maybe you won't have to, JJ. I mean, we were speculating before, right? Like, hey, the controller is already with an Oculus. Maybe they'll just partner up with Oculus and say, hey, the Oculus that you own on your PC, we're all about PC and cross whatever. You can use it on Xbox. Or maybe it's a Vive, or maybe it's some other PC headset, or maybe it's one that they make themselves, whatever. But it's kind of cool. They were, I mean, very openly hinting about VR at E3, but now they're just kind of like out and out saying it.
Well, the console will be definitely powerful enough to do VR well, so.
Yeah.
Yep. They're starting to wear t-shirts and shit. Scorpio t-shirts.
Yeah. I would like a tour of Phil Spencer's wardrobe of all the little t-shirts that he has.
Would you?
Yeah.
Would you really?
I would, but not in the way you're probably thinking.
No, that's not what I'm... That's your
Miku fantasy?
Nier Automata will launch on Steam in 2017.
Yes.
Square Enix's follow-up to 2010's Nier and 8-4 joint.
Yep.
Will launch on Steam next year, they announced at Gamescom. Good for them. Set in early 2017 for Windows, PC, and PlayStation 4.
A great video you guys should all go watch, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, no shit. Okay, cool.
He's got his full, like, Emil hat on or whatever.
Oh, of course. Yeah, the moon head thing. Neo News. JJ, give us the Neo News jingle.
Neo!
Okay. It's got potential somewhere.
We're getting there.
What is it? New stage and a chance to earn additional download content.
So yeah, the beta starts next week.
As part of the beta next week, August 23rd.
Yes. So we'll have impressions on the next podcast.
Nice.
So hopefully it'll be like a little progress report.
Beta demo runs from August 23rd to September 4th, and it is, again, a PlayStation 4 exclusive. Yeah, it'll be cool to see what's fixed, what's still messed up. Maybe we should bring friend of the show,
Mr. Adam,
yeah, to come in and talk about something like that.
Oh, you don't want to talk about
finally,
this?
And finally, and a new ending on a high note.
Yeah,
new Parappa the Rapper anime debuts in Japan this month, folks. That's right.
I was excited about it, but then I saw it's only like 98 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he's not even
episodes
a star.
Are slated to be about 96 seconds each. Yeah. So let's not bury the lead here.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's still pretty amazing that in 2016 this is happening. Titled PJ Barry No Mogu Mogu Munya Munya. You want to give us a rough approximation of what the hell
that
means?
It's like eating and. I don't know. Munya munya is like soft. Yeah, so like
you made a little describe the gesture you just did, but
boobies and masticating.
Work on it. Work on it. That's we can get a better subtitle than that by next episode. Sure. Pilot episode airs on Japanese variety show Hi Paul. This is not Japanese.
I've never heard of that show.
HI POUL.
Sounds Korean.
Additional episodes roll out starting in October. No word when they're going to outside of Japan. I can tell you what'll happen about 10 seconds later on YouTube. he did have his own anime series back in 2001 for 30 episodes, which I don't know how much of that I've ever seen. Parappa the Rapper will turn 20 years old this September. 20 years, that is, from the original PlayStation 1.
So do we
title.
Think this precedes like a return of the rapper
I wonder.
Himself?
Hmm. Not necessarily, but it wouldn't be a bad thing if somebody was doing that. You know, there was all that Crash Bandicoot teasing, and now they're making a horrible, horrible looking game.
But they're also re-releasing the trilogy.
That's what I mean.
All right.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, let's end on that. I know. Boom. High five.
Felt good. Yeah.
So, until 2 weeks from now.
Yes.
Where can people find us or talk to us, or what should they do? How should they spend these next two long weeks besides playing No Man's Sky and listening to this episode over and over again on repeat?
Yeah. You can go to our website, 8-4.jp. We also have our second home, giantbomb.com. There's always a NeoGAF thread that you can go to and comment and say things.
Mm-hmm. iTunes.
Give us good reviews.
Yeah.
The best reviews.
And you can ask us questions and follow up with stuff on Twitter. We actually like that stuff. We're weird like that.
Yeah.
So we actually really like feedback and questions and like, hey, when you said this and hey, you were wrong about that. And like,
oh, the Mario Kart.
What'd you do?
Oh, yeah.
Remember the music that we couldn't get last episode?
What'd you do? What did you do?
Remember we were listening to John. John's... 3DS.
Yes.
There was one song that we didn't know.
Okay.
And
oh, it was Mario Kart.
It was fucking Mario Kart. Of course it was Mario.
Of course. Super easy. I didn't really ever play Mario Kart much, so I'm sorry. I don't feel bad about not knowing that. Okay. I'll put it that way. Wow. Not that that's a bad game. They're not my thing. Never happened.
Not even the Super Nintendo?
Make fun?
I didn't dislike it. I got other shit to do.
Okay. Anyways. So, iTunes. Where was
Twitter.
I? We have our Twitter at 84play. Mine is SBRSK.
I'm at Mark MacD.
I'm at Dermolo.
Wait, spell that.
Dermolo.
Okay.
At Kotowari.
And, John is... away, we probably should have mentioned. He's away on a business trip.
Yes.
If you just thought he was being very, very quiet this entire episode.
You probably thought he was talking... Like, some people think I'm John, so we could have just pretended that I was both.
Maybe next week we should... next episode we
should
do that.
Well, John will be back.
He will be?
Yes.
He will?
Yes.
Okay. Now you've promised
it,
JJ.
Yeah, you're making promises, man.
Now you've promised
it. I'm looking at the calendar, yes.
It better be true.
If he's not back, you're going to have to do his voice.
The next episode is September 1st, so...
Oh, I won't be here.
You
won't
be?
I'll be at PAX.
Oh, man.
That's not a good week to be gone.
Darn it, I know.
Say hi to Seattle for me.
All right. But I can come back with lots of juicy PAX talk, JJ.
That's not what
people
will want to
hear. Juicy PAX talk. Anyway.
Yeah.
Look forward to it anyway.
Wait. Somehow. So are you leaving on that Friday?
No, I leave on Tuesday.
Oh, well,
yeah. So kind of early.
Forget you.
Yeah. Maybe I'll record something while I'm there. I always say I'll do that. Nah. We did that once at E3, remember?
Yeah, that didn't go...
It went great! What are you talking about? It went fantastic.
Reread that gaff thread.
I'm not... That is not the final say of anything, first of all.
Yeah.
That is not the arbiter.
Sure.
They're not the boss of me.
That's true.
You do you.
No, it was good. Yeah. It was good. It was a little chaotic. There was some drinking.
There was some problems.
There was some drinking.
Yeah.
But maybe this time I can control it. We'll see. Anyway, whatever happens, thank you for listening all the way to the end of this episode. I did not get to reveal my amazingly genius money-making scheme for how we're going to monetize the shit out of this podcast, JJ.
Okay.
Do you
have like a 10-second version of it?
It's going to be amazing. I'll give you a hint. Japanese drama music. That's all I'm going to say for now.
I'm thoroughly
confused. Let it ruminate. Ruminate. And when I come back a month from now, maybe we can take advantage of it for our TGS episode.
Oh, shit.
We're in pre-TGS time.
Yep. This is the last episode before the pre-TGS episode.
Shinkansen is going to be coming into the station. And it's always on time because we are in Japan.
Yes.
So look forward to that. Look forward to the next episode of 8-4 Play in 2 weeks. Until then, who wants to take us out? You have to do it more, like, less sexual.
Yeah, I know.
More like,
it's hard.
And more like, I am in a sound booth watching video of somebody.
Okay, I'm picturing
grimacing.
I'm picturing Knocked because Knocked. They're, like, totally forcing that nickname. Yeah. Hey, Knocked.
It's still too sexual. Like, they do it in a weird way.
If you don't have the... I guarantee you, if you just were listening to it, it would sound like somebody who's like, just fucking pig.
Can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight last gleaming? Whose blue stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, or at the ramparts we watched were so
to play video games. Sandy, you mentioned that just about anybody at any age can learn to have fun with video games.
That's right, Mary. They're really a lot of fun. You can play with your spouse, you can play with the kids, grandkids, you can play online or play against the computer.
What do I need to know first to get started?
Well, first you need to understand that there's boxes. This is the Xbox, and this is the Nintendo GameCube, and there's another called the Sony PlayStation.
Okay, now I know what all those words mean. And what do I need to know after I figure out the boxes?
After you know what box you're going to use, you have a controller. This is the Xbox controller, and on the screen you can see we have SpongeBob SquarePants, which is kind of a fun game.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, the controller actually controls it, so I can make Bob walk, or I can make him jump up and down and do various things.
And you're only using a couple of these buttons, I see, right?
That's right. It looks a little complicated, but it really isn't. Most games just use one or two buttons, so it's pretty easy to get into.
So can I try and see what I can do with Bob here? Oh, he's running away. This is fun. And then this green button, I think, made him jump?
That's right.
Oh, I see. Yeah, this is totally fun. Now, is this a tough thing to set up with my TV set?
No, it's really easy. It's as easy as hooking up a CD player to your TV and putting a CD in.
Wow, this is pretty fun. You're getting me really excited about getting better at this since this is my first time out. How can I learn to do more with video games?
Well, go to aarp.org/computers and you can read my 5 top video games.
Okay, 5 top games. I can't wait to see that site. And thanks for everybody for joining us, and see you on the next AARP Video Quick Tip.